wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
The last three, then and now. You and I are a part of the generation of these last days, not of human history, but the last days of this dispensation of the grace of God. As each age ends, God gathers up the gleanings of his harvest, making them trophies of his grace. That is how the ministry of God's Son, Jesus Christ, ended. And that is also how this age, with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, will end. The Holy Spirit is now gathering the last few souls. Who are they? If you are enlightened by the gospel but not yet saved, you might well wonder whether you will be included or excluded. Someone will be the last one saved. Who will he be? What kind of a person? And why should he be so favored? We can best find the answers by observing the trophies of God's grace at the close of the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the beginning of our Lord's ministry, many responded in repentance and faith, but as his ministry drew to a close, they became so few that chapter after chapter record no personal response to him. And so it is today. Religions may get their converts and churches their additions, but those who really get saved are very few. Who are these favored few? We shall see by considering the last three who crowned our Lord's earthly ministry. They were a blind beggar, a rich politician, and a crucified criminal. For those of you who are not brought up in a family order, nor taught in a Sunday school, I will recall a biblical record of these three men. Our Lord Jesus Christ was ever pressing forward to Jerusalem, for outside its gates at Calvary, he would lay down his life in sacrifice, so that his blood, which alone could atone for human sin, could provide the cleansing fountain for our sin and uncleanness. That great mission so captivated his mind and heart that as he passed through towns, they saw that his heart was set on something ahead. Yet three men attracted his attention so that he paused to bestow on them his salvation. The last three, singled out for salvation, chosen from the great crowds that gathered as our Lord entered Jericho and as he left Jericho and at Calvary. There is both a divine and a human reason when only one man is blessed out of a huge crowd. Now for the story. As our Lord Jesus was nearing Jericho, there sat by the road, holding out his cup to the country folks coming into the city, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. The big crowd that day aroused his curiosity, and he was told that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He had once heard in the synagogue the ruler read Isaiah 55, as it told of their coming Redeemer as the Son of David, bringing them mercy, and it would be free. So Bartimaeus cried out in faith, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." The people told him to hush, but neither their money nor their threats could shut him up. He cried the more, until one told him that Jesus had stopped and was calling him. He throws away his coat and his cup, grabs the messenger, and is brought to Jesus. In compassion, the Lord asked him, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" The beggar confessed him, "Lord," and added, "that I might receive my sight." The Lord at once said, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." And so it happened. Bartimaeus, with opened eyes and with God's salvation, followed closely on with Jesus. The crowd increased as our Lord left Jericho. Zacchaeus was the chief tax gatherer of Jericho. By means of his political job, he had become very rich, but he was miserable. Could it be that Jesus of Nazareth was the only answer to his deep need? He must get acquainted with him. As he leaves his riches in Jericho and starts after the crowd, he finds the people so many, and he was so short that he could not even see Jesus. So he runs around the crowd, and way ahead of it, he finds a roadside fig tree with its broad leaves. Up he climbs so he could hide while still seeing Jesus. Then the crowd passes by, but Jesus stopped, looked up at that tree. As his eyes met the gaze of Zacchaeus, he called, "Zacchaeus, calling his very name. Make haste, linger not, and come down. Get down with Bartimaeus and the others, for today I must abide at thy house, exposed, trembling with guilt, yet rejoicing in hope. Zacchaeus does come down, and he goes straight to Jesus to receive him as the Son of Man who came to seek and to save that which was lost, and then to stand before that great crowd to confess Jesus as his Lord. Then our Lord said, this day is salvation come to this house. To find our third man, we must skip over most eventful days in our Lord's life and see an ever greater crowd as it leaves Jerusalem. Jesus is the center of attraction, yet now as a despised man, conducted by soldiers to Calvary to be crucified. The hatred of the envious religious leaders was but fulfilling the scriptures and leading him to that very cross that he had ever before him as his great purpose, his greatest work, for the Creator was now to become our Redeemer. Three crosses soon hold three victims, Jesus in the midst, and on either side a wicked criminal. The yells of that great crowd only silenced when Jesus speaks. When Jesus speaks, as his dying request to his Father, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The railings are resumed to try and drown out the effect of those most gracious words, but one heart was touched. It was one of the malefactors, the wicked criminal. But surely it was too late for him to find mercy. And if he cried, the Lord could not hear him, nor could he now bow at Jesus' feet. All this appeared true, but in desperate distress he did cry. I think of him crying, Lord! But the crowd yelled on, Lord! Again he cries, and the yells cease. The third time he cries, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Instant is our Lord's response. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Thus ends the story of the last three that crowned our Lord's ministry, a beggar, a politician, and a criminal. These will exemplify the last fruit of the Holy Spirit's ministry today, ere our Lord Jesus returns to take his redeemed people to his home and kingdom. First, we observe how vastly different they were, one a pauper in the gutter, the other a rich man in his mansion, and the third a thief behind the bars. They had nothing in common financially or socially. This teaches how our Lord reaches out to all men, whether poor or rich, in mansions or in prisons. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All are lost sinners and need him, and he refuses none. These last three men, like those of our day, were caught in the allurement of money. One begged for it, another tried to steal it, and the third grabbed it by politics. One missed it, one got but a little, and one was very rich, yet all were alike miserable. The prisoner, the politician, and the beggar of charity were all public liabilities. Nothing good could be recorded of one of them, for there is none that doeth good, no, not one. The public officer, the criminal, the beggar must all be saved on a common level. The beggar was lifted up from the dunghill and the proud man brought down out of the tree. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, as the word of God says. But why did such attract the saving grace of our Lord Jesus? Neighbor, draw near and follow carefully. First, they all were deeply in earnest. Hear that beggar's cry, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. See that little fat man run and climb to see Jesus. Hear as that pain-racked thief cried with all his heart, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Neighbor, you can be saved right now if you will get in that deep earnestness and seek the Lord with all your heart. To be half-hearted will do no more good than to be as indifferent as the crowds around you. You must show God that you want to be saved more than anything else. Second, these last three turned away from all else to Jesus. They tried to give the blind beggar money to hush him up, but he cried on. Zacchaeus turned loose his love riches, and the thief broke away from his underworld gang. They turn from all to Jesus to be in his kingdom and to be his followers. Are you willing to snap every fetter that binds you to this world and to your sin for you to become a real Christian and to take your sin on the Lord's side? They were, and they became the last three. Will you? They all didn't stop till they got to Jesus. They cried on and on. They ran and climbed. They called and kept calling until they got through the noise and the crowd to Jesus. See how they sought the Lord with persistence. They kept on. Some say, "Preacher, I once sought the Lord, but it did no good." Once. No wonder. You were not in earnest. No persistence. In all my ministry, I never found one who persisted but that they got saved. When they said, "I just can't go to sleep tonight till I get saved," they found the Lord. Neighbor, give God no rest and take none yourself. Be like Jacob as he clung to the Lord and cried, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Fourth, these last three knew they were saved. They had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus, and they had his word for it. Others might hope so or think so, but they knew. Had not Jesus said, "Thy faith has saved thee," and pronounced salvation on the rich man, and assured the thief of a home with him in heaven? They knew they were saved. They had no doubt. Neighbor, you too can know as they know, and as I have known for 66 years. Don't rest till you know you're saved. Finally, there was a key word that unlocked the door of salvation. All three used it. That word was Lord, L-O-R-D. They all called on Jesus as Lord. They surrendered to him as Lord and Savior. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." To call on gentle Jesus or kind teacher will not unlock the door. To call him only Savior is a key without the magic notch. He is Lord and Savior, and you must call on him as Lord to be saved. As the Bible says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Neighbor, the Holy Spirit is now finishing his earthly ministry, and he's looking for the last three to crown his work of gathering out of all nations a people to be the bride of Christ, his redeemed treasure. Show God you really want to be one of those chosen few, and persist until you know that you are. Take this action today, now, right now. Amen. Neighbor, hear these words of the Lord Jesus as he said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." These are the lifelines thrown to a drowning man. Are you lost? Thank God you're not yet lost in hellfire, but you are lost on that broad road to that furnace of fire. Who can rescue you? Who can save you? Only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. From heaven he came to save lost sinners, and he has died for our sins, and he's risen from the dead, and has ascended back to heaven. Having accomplished eternal salvation for us, he is now calling lost sinners to repentance, that he might save them. Lost sinners. Are you a lost sinner? To repentance. Will you now repent of your sins? As a helpless lost sinner, repenting of your sins, call on the Lord Jesus to save you. He is listening for your call. Then the seeking Savior and the seeking sinner will come face to face. Oh, what a meeting. Words cannot describe it. His delight will be in saving you, and yours will be to have found your Lord and Savior, your King and Deliverer. You will fall at his feet and confess, "Lord Jesus, I thank thee. Thou art my Lord and my Savior, and I am thine to do thy will now and forevermore. Amen." This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.